Amen. Book of Romans this morning, Romans chapter number 11, Romans chapter number 11. And aren't you glad we have a faithful God? He's faithful to us even when we're not faithful to Him. And so thankful for that. Romans chapter number 11, I mentioned earlier already that I'm going to step out of the series on mercy, and Lord willing, we'll be back in that series next Sunday morning. So let me encourage you to be back, and we'll continue in that series. But I'm going to bring a couple of messages today, as I've mentioned, on the subject of Israel. All of us have some rebel in us, don't we? And I just have a hard time with anybody telling me what I have to think or what I'm supposed to think. And you say, well, what do you think? Well, I try to line up to what the Bible says. And we spend a lot of time trying to figure some things out when the Bible just lays it out. That's why the devil's tried to keep the Bible down and push it down and get it out of the schools. That's when we got confused about whether there's more than two genders. That's when we got confused about whether we were created or evolve from an amoeba, so on and so forth. And so I just think it'd be good for us as a church to stay grounded to the Scripture. And so this morning, I'm going to read one verse of Scripture, and you can keep your Bible open to Romans chapter number 11. And I'll move through this as quickly as possible, but I want to lay a foundation. We got to be very careful in the day we live in with technology. I'm for technology, all those things, of letting somebody think for us. I don't know if you've discovered this, it's already been mentioned, and I'll say an amen to it. Politicians will lie to you. The media lies to you. Education lies to you. So we have to filter everything through the Word of God. But Pastor, I heard Fox News say, I don't trust Fox News just like I don't trust the rest of them. I just lost half the crowd right there. But it needs to be said, if it's not thus saith the Lord, you have to put a question mark on it. You have to be discerning. And I'll pray in a minute and you can slip out if you want to. But Romans chapter number 11, one verse to get us started, verse number 29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. There's a lot of application there, but we're going to look at it in the context of the previous chapters this morning. I'm going to speak on this subject, Israel, the gospel, and the faithfulness of God. Israel, the gospel, and the faithfulness of God. Let me get a little bit ahead of myself before I pray. Say, why does Israel matter? Because if God does not keep His word about Israel, He's not going to keep His word about salvation. And if God can be changed on what He said He would promise to Israel, then there's a question mark on whether or not, when you trust Christ, whether He'll keep you saved or not. So, well, look, they've turned their back on God. You and I have too. And so I have great confidence because God does not lie. God keeps His word. He's faithful. So I'm preaching this message this morning in that context. It matters. Israel, the gospel, and the faithfulness of God. Father, help us this morning to be discerning of the times. Help us this morning to look to You, look to Christ today. May we get burdened today for the souls of men, including the souls of Your chosen people. And Father, I pray that this would be a helpful message to us today. Strengthen us as Your church. May we determine to be faithful to Your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Certainly we are living in, I can say, noisy days. Everybody is loud about their opinion, about their agenda. You have politics is noisy. The media is noisy. Social media is noisy. But the way we have to be as a church, our job is not to be noisy. Our job is just to proclaim truth. And if we're going to proclaim truth, we have to go to the source of truth. I've tried to be very cautious of us as a church through the years while we're in a heightened political state, and certainly I don't think you ought to be ignorant of the things that go on. But at the same time, I think you have to understand that everything must be filtered through the Scripture. You know, I knew the vaccine was not the mark of the beast, not because I had inside knowledge, because I've read the Bible. I think some of you know what I'm talking about. I knew that. So if you filter, you say, Pastor, you say you don't pay a lot of attention to politics. That's yes and no. I read the Bible, and then I read history. I can tell you what's going on now because history repeats itself. And so as we get closer to the day that he's approaching, our responsibility is truth. I think we can say amen to that as a church. This morning, I'm not coming to you as a podcaster, as a political commentary, but I'm just a Bible preacher. And so if this contradicts some things that you've heard, let me just help you. They're wrong, and the Bible is right. But I want us to look at Romans chapter 11, verse 29, that verse, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." Paul is not just making a generic statement here. This is a statement about the nature of God, about when he has a call, when he places a call, when he forms a plan and a purpose, he does not change his mind. He is bound to his word. But putting in the specific context of the previous chapters, when him speaking of the nation of Israel, Romans 9 through 11, those chapters, and we certainly don't have time to go through all of them today. It'd be good for you later today to open your Bible to chapter 9 and read through the end of chapter number 11. It's speaking of Israel's past election. And let me just make a quick comment on that word election. Don't let that scare you. Don't let some man who's changed what the Bible says scare you with the word election. It's God's choice. And it's not in the sense of he damns some to hell and he lets some go to heaven. That's not what the word election means. But it talks about, and it's documenting Israel's present unbelief as Paul writes this. But he also is talking about Israel's future restoration. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. See, he is declaring a very crucial truth here. God does not take back, he does not revoke what he has sovereignly chosen to do. When God chooses to do something because he's God, they're not without repentance. That means it's not going to be revoked. I've already alluded to how this matters to us, and we'll get to it, but I want to spend some time in the introduction this morning in this text before we get to my outline, which is a little bit longer than it normally is today. We look at that word, the gifts. You see it there in verse 29, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." What are the gifts? It refers to what God has granted. The gift of salvation. How many of you are saved this morning? That is a gift of God. That is something that God has granted. It's not something you have earned. I have to be honest with you. And we were discussing last night. I've been to Israel twice, and there's the religious, and then there's the just the average Israeli, if I could say it like that. And being around some of them and the way the law, and they look at you as a Gentile like you are a dog, I'm sitting there thinking, I understand why people don't like you. But you say, well, I don't think they should be God. Well, God chose something. And let me make that application again to salvation. There's people who probably don't think you should be saved. Me should be saved. But aren't you glad that God chose the way of salvation and it's a gift? It's something that he's granted in this situation and with this context, something he's granted to Israel. Covenant promises. He made a covenant promise with Israel. He grants them national identity. He granted them the messianic lineage. He granted them scriptural revelation. Make no mistake, this was not earned, and therefore it cannot be unearned. See, Israel is not a modern political invention, but a people that were formed and fashioned by a divine promise of God. See, if God's gifts were revocable, Israel would already be erased from history. But the continued existence of Israel is living proof that God keeps his word. Amen. Let me tell you, from a practical standpoint, a personal standpoint, I'm glad God keeps his word when he says, "For by grace ye are saved." I'm glad he keeps his word when he tells us we're sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. I'm glad he keeps his word when he says that we are in his hand. I'm glad he keeps his word. See, this is more than political. This is an attack on the very word of God. It's an attack on the very nature of God. Look at the word, the calling. You see it there in verse number 29, the gift and calling. calling speaks of that divine choice. It has nothing to do with human merit. Paul is not arguing in the scripture here that Israel deserves God's faithfulness. What he is stating is God's faithfulness does not depend on Israel's performance or on Israel's faithfulness. And sometimes we think that we're saved because we perform a certain way. Now, we should try and live a certain way because we are saved by the grace of God, but we didn't get salvation because we put on a performance. So that calling is about a choice of God, the faithfulness of God. God has not cast away His chosen people, even in their unbelief. See, why is this important? Because if we're not careful, we can let the events that take place today and that are filtered through a secular society and a political movement shape our thinking and actually bring false doctrine into the church. Because if we just have this blind nationalism, if I can say it like that, we can come to the place where we adopt a false doctrine of replacement theology, meaning that God has replaced Israel with the church. The Bible does not teach that, because that would change the nature of God. And God's promise, God keeps His promise. What this is forcing us to do in the context of what God says, and Paul is writing about Israel, it forces us to keep things biblical and not be emotional. Your emotions will betray you. They will lie to you. They will put you in a situation that you wish you weren't in. We must stay biblical. Notice the words. You didn't know so much was in a simple verse, did you? Without repentance. Meaning, God is not looking at this situation and something that He chooses to do. He's without regret. Without reversal. Without a change of mind. Paul is saying he doesn't wake up one day, and depending on what's going on in a certain nation, that he tears up His covenant promises with them. See, this is important, and I want to establish this before we get into the outline today, that it's important because we must tie this all together. God is faithful to Israel, not because of Israel. He's faithful to Israel because He's faithful to His Word. And by the way, this is not a political issue. This is a scriptural, biblical issue. And that's why I'm pointing this out today and hoping we can connect the dots. God is faithful to Israel because God is faithful to His Word. Which means God will be faithful to all of His future promises, including the second coming of Christ. See, if His nature is so fickle that He can revoke His promises to Israel based on Israel's rejection, then none of us are secure in our salvation. But this morning, this matters to you and I as believers, because if God keeps His promises, and Scripture is full of documentation of how they rejected God, and God would call them back, and they would reject, and they even crucified His own Son that He sent to them for redemption. And if God does not change His mind and He keeps His promise to His people, the nation of Israel, then when you drift from God and when you are unfaithful, He keeps His promise to you. Well, if He keeps His promise, even when He's disciplining His people, then we can trust Him completely. With that as the foundation of why this matters, this is not a secular idea. But it is important for us to understand that our salvation is tied to this. Because we're speaking of the nature of God. Let me give you 6 statements this morning. Number one, Israel is a biblical reality, not a modern creation. It's a biblical reality, not a modern creation. Now you'll hear that Israel became a nation in 19. No, it didn't. Genesis chapter number 12. You can mark verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Israel did not begin as a nation in 1948. Israel began with a promise from God. God chose a man. Why did he choose him? One day you can ask him. He chose a man. And by the way, that's how God works. He chose a man, Abraham, and he made an unconditional covenant with him. That covenant involved a land. It involved a people and a blessing to all nations. Be careful listening to your favorite conservative podcaster calling into question our alliance with Israel. They don't understand what God has said. And sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. It's like Israel's lucky to have us. Oh no, friend, according to Genesis chapter number 12, verse 1 through 3, we're lucky to have them, because maybe God has blessed us because we've blessed them. A lot of times we don't like to hear that, but because it takes the importance off of our political party. It takes the importance off of our success. I love America. I think America is the greatest nation on earth. And didn't you like it when the men and the women won the gold medal, beating Canada in hockey? Didn't you like that? They should have taken statehood when they had the chance, so they would know what it's like to be a gold medal winner. I love America. I'm patriotic. I want America to be number one. But we got to be reminded, it's about God. It's about His perspective. It's about His people. It's a covenant. It was not based on Abraham's perfection. It was not based on Israel's obedience. We do this sometimes like, well, they have problems. Yeah, they have problems. But I've already asked you, I'm going to ask you again and probably ask you 17 more times this morning, how many of you are saved? Do you still have problems? Do you still sin? Do you still have doubt? Aren't you glad that God didn't send His Son to save only those who never had a problem, who only earned it? Because, friend, nobody would be saved if that was the case. See, God does not choose nations the way men do. See, America, our pride is our downfall, because we think America is about America. America is truly about God shed His grace on thee. God chooses to bless a nation so His glory can be shown, so His goodness can be shown. Statement number two, God's covenant with Israel has not been canceled. In Romans chapter number 11, the first part of this verse, verse 1 and 2, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. I'm sorry, I'm still in Genesis. That's a little bit different. Romans chapter 11 and verse 1, I say that hath God cast away His people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away His people, which He foreknew. Wot ye not what the Scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel? Paul says, God forbid. Hath he cast away His people? God forbid. One of the great doctrinal, scriptural mistakes and errors of our day, sometimes even well-intended, is the idea that God is finished with Israel. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, anticipates this thinking, answers it plainly, God forbid. See, Israel's unbelief did not nullify God's promises. Israel's rejection of Christ did not surprise God. That's where the Gentiles come in, by the way. Israel's present blindness is temporary. It's not permanent. If we take the same chapter, go down to 20, verse 25 and 26. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Their blindness is temporary. It's not permanent. God is currently working among the Gentiles. That's me. I'm thankful for that. But because he is working among the Gentiles, that does not mean he has forgotten about Israel. You know, our God is big enough to keep his promise to everybody. He's big enough to keep everybody saved. He's a big enough God. Well, I lost my belief, so I'm not saved. My God's bigger than that. My God is big enough to keep all of his promises at the same time. See, I love this. And I'm just stating what I've already stated in a different way because I think it's good for us to hear it. If God can abandon Israel, he can abandon anyone. But God is faithful to Israel. We can trust him completely. Statement number three. Loving Israel does not mean ignoring the gospel. Flip back to Romans chapter number 10. Verse 1. This is Paul writing again. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Biblical love for Israel is not a blind endorsement. If you could let me personally testify my time visiting there, well, you have a fondness and affection because of the connection to our Savior and the Word of God. But when you are reminded and you're standing in the same dirt where they mocked him and rejected him, and you recount, you're in that garden of Gethsemane where he prayed those sweat drops of blood before he was betrayed and arrested and blasphemed and put on that mockery of a trial and crucified. Well, it's heartbreaking. And you want to say, how in the world could you do this to Jesus? We don't have to endorse everything, and that's a talking point you'll hear today. Well, I'm not endorsing everybody who's been saved, but I'm thankful that God saves us and saves sinners and keeps us saved. It is a burden intercession. The greatest need of Israel this morning is not military defense. It's not global sympathy. The greatest need of Israel is Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, who writes here, who loved Israel deeply, says they have zeal, but not according to knowledge. See, to love Israel biblically is to want them saved, not merely supported. Now, I think that we should support them, and the Bible calls for that and says he'll bless those that bless them. But it's bigger than that. We should want them to be saved. We should want them to know the Lord Jesus Christ as the true Messiah, as the one who's already come and paid their sin debt. That is what it means to pray for Israel. Yes, pray for their safety and pray for their protection in God's people. But we ought to be praying for them to know Christ and to know the Son of God like we've been able to know him. This is the danger when we allow the secular view to shade the way we look at things just in politics and that political realm. No, we ought to want people to be saved. That's the prayer. Statement number four. Hope you're still with me. God's heart has always been that the nations will be reached through Israel. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, the verse, if you read it carefully, sometimes we just focus on that blessing those who are blessed. But Scripture says, in these shall all families of the earth be blessed. So when God chose his people, that means he didn't choose anybody else. If that were true, we wouldn't be saved. Israel was never chosen instead of the world. This is what people miss. They were chosen for the world. From the beginning, God had a plan. His plan was there would be a Jewish Messiah, but there would also be a global gospel. There would be redeemed people from every nation. It was Jesus himself who said in John chapter number 4 that salvation is of the Jews. That does not mean salvation is just for the Jews. It means it would come forth from them. He did not choose one people to reject the rest of the world. He chose one people for the rest of the world. And my, how Satan has darkened the minds of men and turned the... That's why he hates them, because they are so valuable to God. But such a... The source of the gospel, the source of truth... But they were chosen for the world. We owe the scriptures to the Jews. We were talking about that last night. We mentioned that place where they, you can see a rabbi of today copying the scriptures, and to think that they couldn't just scan it, dictate it. It was hand copied. And any mistake would be destroyed. That's why it's important that you know that your Bible is the inerrant Word of God. We owe the Scriptures. I love Jesus, don't you? I love the idea of Him. I love His deity. I love that He was born of a virgin. To that virgin Hebrew young woman Mary. We owe our salvation to the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Messiah was a Jew. We owe that to the Jews. We owe the early church to Jewish believers. Jesus ascends into heaven. He had already founded his church. He ascends to heaven and they assemble in that upper room. And from there they would go to Acts chapter number 2, that day of Pentecost, and God would pour out his power on that group of Jewish believers, who instead of with anger and bitterness scorned those that crucified and killed their Savior. They preached a risen Savior. They preached of a free salvation. And it is from there we get the gospel. See, it's a little bit more than the political things, the headlines you hear from time to time. But please do not miss this. The same gospel that came from Israel must now go back to Israel. It's one thing to celebrate and say thank you, and I want to continue to receive the blessings by the promises and covenant of God. I'm thankful for what I've received in the Lord Jesus Christ. But because of the condition and the hearts of the people, it now has to go back to Israel. Matthew 28 does remind us, go you therefore and teach all nations. All nations include Israel. To withhold the gospel out of the fear of offense is not love. To build relationships, earn trust, and faithfully present Christ is biblical compassion. This is a whole other subject for another time, but whether I preach it or put it in a book or whatever, you know, we got to get back to being willing to persuade. Make an argument for Christ. Let people know. Let me conclude with this. This is better than Fox News, by the way. You're getting better stuff. And I'm not even pausing for, you know, station identification or commercials or whatever. You know, if people's society would read the Bible, they would certainly look a whole lot smarter. Let me close with a proper response for the church. What are we supposed to do? First of all, we pray. Let me give you three things this morning to pray for. As Psalms 122, 6 tells us, the peace of Jerusalem. Well, I don't understand what is all the political implications? I don't care what they all are. I am commanded to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I just want to do what God has commanded me to do, and I'll let Him work all that out. We should be praying for the salvation of Israel. We as God's church should be praying for gospel laborers to go to Israel. What's the next proper response? Stay grounded in Scripture. I'm hoping to be very practical this morning. What does that mean to stay grounded in Scripture? We refuse media-driven theology. We must get our theology. Israel is not a political issue, it's a theology issue. And I've given us a little bit of it this morning, and there'll be some more tonight. But we refuse media-driven theology. Refuse emotion-driven opinions. Refuse fear-driven silence. Number three, support the, how do we, proper response for church, support gospel work. We support missionaries who preach Christ, who love people, who are going to stand on truth. See, this morning, this was not about politics. I hope it, as we conclude this morning, I go back to where we started. It's important that we believe what God says about the people, the nation of Israel. God does not need permission from politicians to keep His word. We need to make a peace treaty. You can make whatever treaties you want to make. The covenant has already been written. And why this is important, I'll remind us one more time. Because if God can change His mind, and God's willing to change His mind about His promise to Israel, what security do you and I have? What He has said He will do when it comes to salvation. If He makes a covenant with this people and they reject Him and they crucify Jesus and they deny Him, then He says, okay, I'm removing my covenant. I'm not going to keep my word. Friend, what does that do with you and I? It comes in complete contrast with the song that was sung just a little bit ago. He's been faithful to me. He's been faithful to you and I when we were not faithful. It's not because of our goodness or our worthiness. It's because of His goodness and His worthiness and His promise and His covenant. See, everything starts with God and everything will end with God. We have a faithful God. We must trust Him. We must just be obedient to His word. You know, and I could answer a lot of things, but and at some I'm answering more than I normally would, but because I think it's obviously a satanic play in these final days. Well, you just don't care what anybody does over there. You'll hear that. You'll hear arguments of that. Well, good night. America butchers hundreds of thousands of babies every year. I mean, think about when we get out of the filter of Scripture, think about what we're fed. This is okay, but this is not okay. And this is why I don't put much stock in what any politician says. Unfortunately, my life is a lot simpler since I've just kind of come to that conclusion. But when you have the same people condemning the nation of Israel who are defending the slaughter of unborn and sometimes even being born babies, there ought to be some light that comes on and says, hold up. There's a contrast there. You can't be for life and death at the same time. What's not true? Well, we know babies are being slaughtered. See, this is what I got to be done. It's where I get frustrated. Because we let our patriotism get in the way of our Christianity. We let the political mandate get in the way of Scripture. And we let society and secularism and education tell us how we're supposed to think about things that the Bible is very clear about. I think what I've briefly laid out this morning makes perfect sense when you put it in the context of Scripture and God. It matters because God says it matters. And I just decided I'm going to live a much simpler life. Instead of trying to figure out God and everything that's going on, all the details, I seem like a complicated person sometimes. I'm pretty simple. He says, I will bless them that bless thee. What else do I need to know? I'm not a Jew. I'm a Gentile. I've been grafted in, thankfully. But it's not, I will bless them that bless thee. I don't even, my motives don't even have to be right for that. I don't want to be a hypocrite. You go right ahead and get that all figured out. God said, I'll bless you if you bless them. I'll let God bless me by trying to bless them. You got to know your Bible. This is really a challenge for us to be reminded of what God has done for us and the fact that God keeps His Word. But it's also a challenge for you and I as a Christian, as a child of God. You've got to know your Bible. Well, I don't have time to study. Turn the news off. I don't have time to read it. How many podcasts are you listening to? Well, I don't have time to figure that out. How many Instagram influencers are you following? I mean, I'm okay being influenced, but I think I'd rather be influenced by the Apostle Paul. That's our basis, Scripture. The Bible. And the devil knew what he was doing when he removed the Bible out of the public square. And you and I must study the Scripture. We must know the Scripture. You know why the Dark Ages were the Dark Ages? Because there was no Bible. There's a reason why in those times the Catholic Church wouldn't let the people read the Bible. And even today, the Catholic Church will tell you what the Catholic Church says is above the Bible. There should be a problem with that. So, Pastor, you're getting everybody. No, I'm not getting everybody. I'm just saying, God, His Word, doesn't He matter? When it's all said and done, the only opinion that matters is the creator of all things, is the God who's just and holy and righteous. And thankfully, he's also merciful and gracious and loving. And our responsibility is just to obey him. I'm thankful that God keeps his word. When I was a child, I put my faith and trust in a Jew, the Lord Jesus Christ. 100% God, 100% man. The virgin-born, perfect Son of God, who is the fulfillment of prophecy of that Lamb who would shed his blood. And all I had to do was hear the story of how he came from the grave and he had paid my sin debt. I didn't understand all the doctrines of salvation, but the Spirit of God said, if you don't put your faith and trust in him, you're going to die and go to hell. You didn't have to convince me I was a sinner. You didn't have to argue with me about that. I knew I was. Well, I can still see that school classroom in my mind, and I probably had just gotten back from the principal's office. But I quickly said, I got to be saved. I have to believe on him. Well, I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful for that every day since that day, I've woken up saved. I've gone to bed saved. I am born again. I am redeemed. There's nothing anybody can do about that. You know why? Because God keeps his word. Because God keeps his covenant. Because God does not take back based on what we do. It's his nature. It's his faithfulness. It's his love. It's his character that we depend on. What if the political winds change? They always change. But God and his word stay true. And more than trying to correct the record this morning, my challenge as the pastor is for us to make sure that we stay on a Bible page. Make sure we push back all the filter, because if it's not about this subject, it's going to be another subject and another subject. And what has God said? And by the way, because we can say he keeps his covenant, it means the things that he says are going to happen are going to happen. One day that sky, I mean, standing there, and you've been there like 17,000 times here in you last night in Israel. The two times I've been there, staying on the Mount of Olives, staring at the old city. You say, was that the, no, I kept looking over my shoulder. Because one day, Jesus is going to put his feet on the Mount of Olives again. One day, he's coming back. All of that is going to happen. And they can try and stop it, and they can try and wish it away, and the devil knows what he's doing. He knows his days are numbered. It's short. He wants to deceive as many people as possible, because it is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is coming again. Do you know him? Do you know him? Have you put your faith in? I didn't say, did you know about him? Do you know him? Have you put your faith and trust in him? So I can't figure out all those end times things. I haven't tried to figure it all out. I just know that I'm born again. I'm redeemed. Nothing's going to ever change that. Jesus is going to call me home, or he's going to come back. He's going to call me. He's calling me home one way or another. Either I'm going to go up and join him in the clouds, or I'm going to pass through that portal of death from this life to that life. He's calling me home, and there's nothing that can change that. Until then, I have to be faithful to what God has said to do. What should we do? Bless them who he says to bless. Pray for their salvation. Pray for the salvation of the world. So, Pastor, we have people in our nation that's trying to destroy our nation. I 100% agree. What should we do? We just got to stand on truth and not change. We just got to pray for their soul. You got to pray for their salvation. Pray for, what are we going to do with these cities that are out of control? Well, maybe we need to plant some churches in them. Jesus Christ is the answer. It's not political reform. Righteousness exalts a nation. Now, some of these new versions, it may say Republicans exalt a nation, but they're exalting the nation. They're not exalting the nation. Man is not the hope. Jesus Christ is the hope. Father, we come to you.